Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Art and Labor.
Quarantine edition.
Yeah, just,
it's fun.
Yeah. It's gonna go nuts, everybody. Just slowly going nuts, but actually just revealing that it was always there.
Yeah. The socialism or barbarism is there's never a choice. It's literally one or the other. It's always been here. The everyone who wants to go back to normal, normal was also bad. So
nobody knows what normal is. It's very frustrating. Everyone just wants to have
siren. Hear the siren.
Oh yeah, baby. Sirens all day.
My God.
Yeah. Everybody just wants to have like a really contained experience of exploitation where they can focus on their employment and their partners and just get really mad at them and be like, oh my God, you're like the sole source of frustration in my life. And then just be like, what? I mean, the outside world's taking care of itself, right? And that's normal. Normal.
Yeah, internalizing. A lot of internalizing happens. People have to cope. And, like, I get that. Everybody's coping.
Everybody
has issues mentally to deal with themselves. Like,
no, we're all actually dealing with a completely unprecedented traumatic event that is going to affect everything that we know moving forward. And of course people would like to go back to a time when there weren't deaths pouring in, death counts rising, but death people in trucks,
bringing in refrigerated trucks, pulling them up to the hospital.
Yeah, well, they're not refrigerated yet because the people are just dying on the truck.
Well, the one I'm talking about is the Elmhurst Hospital video that's going around from the...
Yeah, from the New York Times.
Yeah.
There are people still dying on there. They're just, like, terminal cases. Because there's no Dr. Kevorkian thing going on yet, right? You just gotta cough it out.
Shit is so bad. Like, Elmhurst... Like, Joey's grandparents grew up across the street from the Elmhurst Hospital, and they both passed away a couple years ago, but it's so densely populated there. Like, their building has so many people in it. There's like another building exactly like it next to it. So many people there, so many people surround that hospital, like, and it's one of the most diverse places in the whole world. So there's all, but that means that there's like, you know, a dozen different immigrant communities there. A lot are probably undocumented. Like, Jackson Heights, Elmhurst is seriously, it had a lot of troubles, and the government had there was a fire in Joey's grandma's building while she was still living there, while she was still alive. And, that was the fourth, like, major fire in that neighborhood in, like, you know, a matter of a couple of years. Like, there's no social resources, like, there's no oversight in that neighborhood. Like, it's just it shows, like, Elmhurst Hospital is a public hospital, and it's like, you know, we have literal criminals like Cuomo trying to cut Medicaid right now when, like, these public hospitals are suffering so much.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, talk about Cuomo. Like, let's go off for a second. I find him so offensive. It's just insane that he was responsible for actually eliminating a lot of the hospital beds that he's calling to have brought back. Like, there was this interview with a bunch of healthcare workers that was in Democracy Now. The title is Frontline New York Nurses Lack Protective Masks and Ventilators. Say worst is yet to come as COVID-19
They're wearing
spreads.
Garbage bags.
I mean, that's like today's really clickbaity photo or whatever. But I just wanted to read this quote that was from the nurses from this. I would call Governor Cuomo probably the single most important person in terms of the drive to close down hospital beds in this state over the last 20 years. In New York State, we've gone from 73,000 beds to 53,000 beds from the year 2000 to the present time. So specifically, horrible. Because of policies that Governor Cuomo has pursued, we are now 20,000 beds behind where we need to be in terms of trying to scale up our capacity to these unprecedented levels. And now he's calling for 140,000 beds. And he's also saying ridiculous stuff like, I don't know, I was just watching his thing today. He's just saying, you know what? You say you lost your job. No, you didn't lose your job. Everyone lost their job, okay? We're all going through this together. And I'm like, motherfucker, no, we're literally not. No, we're not. How are people saying
you didn't lose your job, and you should fucking lose your job, because he's a criminal. He's a criminal.
No, you know, like, honestly, if he wants to put himself in the position to get this work done, like, I mean, just like fucking keep doing it, I guess, because it's not like.
But
we can
what is he actually doing? He's just saying he's gonna do this shit, and he's not actually doing it. All the nurses are like, "Yeah, we've been hearing this from the
city." Yeah. Well, here's the second part: is that I think he needs to stop holding press conferences, and he needs to start looking at the budgets that we've all been putting together, because he keeps talking about like, you know, he's talking about like the bottom line in terms of finances. And it depends on how much money we get for the state, which is the same fucking argument he always uses, right? I mean, he's always like, oh, well, we don't know if it's in the budget. We're not sure. You know, that's why we have to cut Medicare and Medicaid. That's why we have to reduce these beds. That's why we can't look at reworking unemployment. That's why we can't, like, necessarily just give people a rent freeze. It's because we have to find it all, you know. And then he keeps talking about being transparent with the revenue. They're like the revenue stream, and he's like, look, we're in unprecedented times. We don't know what the revenue stream is going to be. And it's like, okay, money's not real.
Here we go. Print the money.
Yeah, money is not fucking real. And he just keeps going like, well, you know, it's just that my superiors in Washington, you know, they just didn't give us enough to go around.
Oh my god.
That's why I gotta bail out developers.
The fucking, like, the all, these are the people, like, de Blasio is also at fault here. You know, they've been, like, he could do a lot to stop the massive amounts of hospital closures and defunding that's been happening over his tenure, frankly.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that if de Blasio and Cuomo worked together on was to try to get fucking Amazon here. That's these psychos care about.
Yeah,
is their fucking public-private partnerships. They sound like fucking Donald Trump being like, we're gonna talk to Burger King and we're gonna get the cruises to donate their boats and like all this just like...
So like, insane.
Like, Google and Facebook or whatever are gonna make us a forum and like... all these bullshit, totally fucking bullshit public-private partnerships are like big daddy Democrat leaders in New York City are the same. They're the same. They're calling for the same shit because they don't believe in giving you healthcare. They don't believe in giving poor people anything. They believe in killing poor people. That's like, it's easier for them if they are able to just let people die by encouraging them to go back to work,
yeah,
for one thing, so that they can keep lining their pockets off of your labor.
Yeah. One thing that was interesting about today's press conference, though, was, I mean, I fucking love the reporters. The reporters that are sitting in on this stuff are so cool. Today they asked, why is construction considered like a vital service to be going on? yeah, an essential service, because basically developers have been greenlit to keep building condos throughout this whole thing.
Psycho.
And it, yeah, it's totally psycho, but the reporters today were like, why are you allowing this? And it was it was cool because it was like, oh, sorry, you're like live right now.
You have to answer.
Yeah, so Cuomo was like, yeah, actually, that's probably not a good thing. Yeah, we should probably stop that, huh? yes, thank you. Oh my god, the press just like had a little win right there.
No, and this is how they do it. Because like, remember like the time we ran into the mayor, in Williamsburg. Like,
I was thoroughly unimpressed.
Yeah, well, he had this little tiny press pool, right? Yeah. And it was totally impromptu. Like, this was not on the calendar. He did like an impromptu press conference with handpicked press. And so even if the governor's handpicked press is asking him these hard questions for him, like, shit is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real.
You know, it's like they're like Trump, because like Trump's press pool, he's like weeding out all the ones he doesn't like. You know, they're all gonna try to do that shit. So the bad reporters are like, oh, I care, I gotta keep my access. Like, that's like the cable news sort of people who are more entertainment than reporter,
right?
Those people are psychos. But yeah, the good reporters who can find a way to prod them, it'd be great if we can get some really hard-hitting shit thrown at them, like,
yeah, soon. Honestly, soon. If y'all are reporters, just like think of yourself as you get like one chance,
you get one chance,
you know.
I was thinking about all the reporters who keep emailing us like, you an art handler, or are you this a quote?
Oh, I know. Yeah, can you weigh in on our situation here?
Yeah, I don't know. If people want to talk to reporters, email us.
Yeah, but we got a whole bunch of them. Yeah,
I don't know.
Things are just going totally nuts though, and a lot of moves are being made in the city without any kind of contestation, which is gonna be interesting to see when all of the lockdown is lifted,
if it's lifted.
Yeah, it will be eventually, and we're gonna have to deal with a completely different landscape, and it might feel like a lockdown in a lot of ways after this is done.
Well, yeah, I wonder if like all the people like from whatever like shitty Midwest towns or whatever, like, who moved here for all the venues and bars will just like move back home or what.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Here's my prediction. So we're starting to see, of course, like a lot of the small businesses, places that we really care about, suffer because they're not able to do what they need to do, like stay open and let people in. So I think a lot of these properties are probably going to be bought out. And then at the top, we're seeing like, you know, some places that are going bankrupt are folding and other companies are buying them. So it's going to be like the way that banks just sort of like absorbed each other after the financial crisis. That's what's going to happen to like culture and resources.
That's interesting.
But there's going to be like, but then we're also going to see probably a crash in the real estate market. So things might start getting cheap again, and we'll see like this whole different field of people who somehow maintained the means to start a business like after the plague.
I'm wondering too, like, well, what, because I know we want to talk about some of the big grocery chains, but maybe to lead into that, like, did you see like even places like Chipotle and Cheesecake Factory are like, we're not paying our April rent.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Comrade Cheesecake.
Like, those sort of places are not going to be able to pay their rent. So all these independent ones aren't going to be able to either. I feel like maybe more, slightly more progressive places like New York City will throw some small businesses a bone and let them keep their spaces through the crisis. But I'm yeah. still wondering, like, if, you know, if this is going to be like the next year.
Well, you can keep your space through the crisis, but the whole thing is going to be like, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what happens after?
That's my prediction for after is like, it's going to be like 3 or 4 months from now, and the economic stimulus, quote unquote, which is really not, it's a relief fund for a fucking national crisis, and nobody can use the right words. And it is way too small.
It's nothing.
I heard like Australians are getting thousands of dollars a month. Canadians are getting like $2,000 a month until
America. We have to be demonstrated that it's not going to work before, and a bunch of people have to die before people realize, oh,
yeah,
whoops. Like, they can't just like, if this was a sane government or sane media infrastructure, everyone would be rallying behind Bernie Sanders like months ago.
Oh, I know.
But of course we're not. Everyone's rallying behind fucking Cuomo, the fucking murderer, the fucking Amazon fucking Cuomo.
Yeah.
The scum of the earth.
Yeah.
That's who the Democrats are rallying behind. And Joe Biden, like, putting him on the fucking View and putting him on camera.
Oh my God.
Deteriorating. Literally deteriorating.
I just can't even with Joe Biden.
And he's a rapist, P.S.
Yeah. Like, He's a rapist, he's a racist, he's an idiot, his healthcare program
he's Donald Trump
is
blue.
Like nothing.
He's literally not Donald Trump blue, and that's who we're spending our, like, not we're, not, I'm not part of the fucking Democratic Party.
No.
The Democratic Party is spending their time on, that's what they see fit. And so people are just going to die with that incompetence, and some of it's knowing and some of it's unknowing, but it's all the same result. People are dying because of incompetence.
Oh yeah, and happy Women's History Month. Joe Biden wants to overturn Roe v. Wade.
and is a rapist. His former staff and
is a bully and protects other rapists.
Awful person.
Bad. So bad.
Just awful. If he's not already dead and it's just a hologram, I hope he dies again.
Seriously. I mean, he will eventually.
I hope he dies soon. God.
It's just not good enough to wait for these people to go. You know, I wish they could really, like, I wish they could look into my eyes. Yeah, it's bad. So yeah, Amazon Cuomo, Amazon Fairway.
God.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit yesterday about, just like on the phone, okay, and I were talking about there was this interview with people who were shopping at a Fairway on 6th Avenue, and all of these shoppers were just saying like, yeah, we're doing fine. It's a really bad situation because there were only like 3 people working in this whole Fairway right now, but we found a way to self-organize and we made a line that went all the way through the grocery store.
So amazing.
And then we would just shop as we went through the line, and it was slow, but we gave each other space and we got it done. Like, easy, beautiful, great. And then of course, New York was like using that as some kind of an example to say why we needed an increased police presence.
Absolutely,
which is great.
Insane.
Then nary but a moment later, I found that Amazon is trying to buy Fairway because they're bankrupt.
Yeah, they went bankrupt like a couple months ago.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like all of these companies are just going to start buying each other's debt and consolidating, like, you know.
Because that's the market now. The market is grocery infrastructure, delivery infrastructure, that sort of shit. So now, I mean, now it makes sense. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's just wild, you know. Is it going to be like... So they didn't manage to buy New York City locations, which was cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, they bought a bunch. They bought some locations in New Jersey, and I think there might still be more being auctioned.
There's one in Rockland.
Yeah, but Village Supermarket Incorporated and Seafood Cooperative member Seven Seas Georgetown LLC bought a bunch of them.
So they're all trying to buy them up. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just sort of like, I mean, it makes sense though, because if the structures are already there and yeah, you are like a giant profiteer.
And Key Food already does that. Like there's several other, like, I think Key Food owns, it owns a bunch of, what's the one called?
ShopRite?
C-Town.
Oh, C-Town. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I feel for the grocery workers. One segment we were thinking about doing was a roundup of all the different public calls to action different groups are promoting. And one is the Trader Joe's union. Is calling on people to call the Trader Joe's like customer line and demand that workers get better protections and hazard pay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have a couple good friends who work for Trader Joe's, and we're posting here. I got the phone number right here. So it says, if you have any opinions that you feel like voicing for this company, here are some publicly available email addresses you can message. Nicole High, Executive Communications Director, nhigh@traderjoes.com. John Basalone, President of Stores, jbasalone@traderjoes.com. Corporate phone number, 626-599-3700. Here's some posts of what Trader Joe's workers are going through.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the Trader Joe's union Twitter now. Is that what you're looking at?
I was looking at my friend's post, but I think it's also related or similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to be able to wear a mask. We have seen workers at Costco, Sam's, Walmart, Best Buy, as well as others allowed to protect themselves and families and customers by doing so, but not us. What can we do? What will they do when we are all sick and cannot work? There's already a COVID case on the Union Square Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
They had to shut it down.
The Trader Joe's union is saying... They lied about their no glove policy. Trader Joe's was saying that you can't wear gloves because it makes people nervous, and so we have a no glove policy, and they were putting people at fucking risk, and that is why that Trader Joe's had to be shut down.
So fucked. So fucked. And like we said last episode, Whole Worker and others are calling for a global sick out on March 31st. If you know anybody in retail or grocery, you know, send them this info, send them our podcast, have them DM, like, if they're worried.
Yeah.
This is important. I know the other calls I wanted to mention was the Housing Justice for All is calling for like people just to share their stories. They have like a document that they're trying to get in front of legislators showing the hardship that renters are facing. So if you want to share your story, reach out to Housing Justice for All Coalition, or find your local tenants union.
And there's also some legislation that has been passing around.
You can sign on to the, right, Lucia?
Yeah. I forget what the, it is bill number S8125.
Sick. Bill number.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, we were talking a little bit about that yesterday too, about how it kind of has some issues, but basically it is a 90-day rent cancellation bill to give people in the most need that buffer. And before you think, oh no, that'll really gum up the works or something, you know, just think about it, because a landlord maybe has to pay for their housing too, except for under this bill, they don't. If they don't collect your rent, they don't have to pay anything on the other end either. So nobody's getting fucked if this thing works in a, you know, positive way.
Yeah. One ongoing issue in certain neighborhoods are people who rent from private homes. And like a lot of the times these bills don't cover that. And that's a large part of the rental market that people for a long time have had a hard time figuring out how to get rights and regulations to. So that's one thing to maybe talk to your reps about. And I would also say talk to your reps about leaving Congress open longer in emergency, because they're about to go on break for like a month.
It's important that we put some pressure on this thing, because if they put pressure on making them not go to break. Assembly needs to be doing their job right now.
It's an emergency, and I know two Albany, you know, Assembly member people have COVID and are sick.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. But they're gonna have to fucking figure it out. They can make emergency powers to vote remotely or some shit. Like, they have to figure it out. They have to stay open. Like,
yeah. God. Yeah, there are civil servants, you know.
Sorry, anything else on that?
Oh, I was gonna say that again, it's difficult because Cuomo doesn't want to support this bill because it is blessed revenue protections.
There's too much pressure for him to not to he won't be able to veto it. It'll everyone yeah. be so fucking mad if he vetoes it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know.
Insane anger. No, I can't. Everyone is being radicalized by this moment. And if he doesn't understand that people's basic necessities are all that we're struggling to achieve, then, I mean, well, he will prove himself to be the fucking criminal that he is, but...
Oh, man.
I don't know. I mean, he has to, and if he doesn't, there's gonna be a bigger issue than anything Seriously. You could imagine.
And here, I have one more New York thing, and I want to address that. Like, you know, we talk about New York a lot, but, like, here's the thing for people not in New York. Like, New York sets the precedent for a lot of the other cities. It just does. And then, like, organizing in your community, in your city, you can use the shit happening here as an example, because we're literally like the biggest outbreak, like the most, like, we're going to be like the most deaths. We're like on the trajectory to have an insane number of deaths and an insane number of fuck ups and problems. And we're the most densely populated city on the country. So.
It's like when you read that news about Italy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Where Italy, will you but it's guide? New York.
Like, Italy is, and then us, and then yeah, other like I'd say like Florida and LA or something.
Oh also, my god, yeah. I mean everywhere, guys. We're just talking about it here because everything got so immediate and so intense that it's enough just to focus on what's happening around us. And
we also have so many billionaires here. And
yeah, that's true.
Fucking stock market here, which is like causing these psychos to do things.
Yeah, like I said, we live in Money Town.
That affects the whole rest of the world. Like, it's bullshit.
It's awesome. It's fucking sick, dog.
And this thing that Sarah Jaffe, legendary labor journalist and friend of the show, which is crazy, posted this on New York court decision that app-based workers are employees. Albany, today, the New York State Court of Appeals decided that Louis Vega, a Postmates delivery person, as well as similarly situated workers, are employees for unemployment insurance purposes. President of the AFL-CIO issued the following statement in response. The Court of Appeals has confirmed what we have said all along. App-based employers have been misclassifying workers and denying them their rights for no other reason other than their own bottom line. The harm caused by this injustice have never been clearer than during this pandemic. App workers are getting sick and in some cases dying. Many have had no choice but to work because they have been wrongfully excluded from permanent workplace protections and even emergency state relief in response to COVID-19. Maybe this decision and this pandemic will encourage app companies to do the right thing, regardless. I lost my spot.
Oh, no.
Regardless, we will not rest until the law is changed to remove any doubt or excuse. App workers in New York are entitled to all the protections afforded to other hardworking New Yorkers. That's good news.
Yeah.
Because that's been a long time coming, like delivery workers. Maybe this will affect Uber and Lyft too. Who knows? Like, I know California has been trying to fight against these misclassified independent contractor employers for a while, and it's nice that we are able to catch up, even though it had to take this fucking crisis and people dying en masse. Like, that's something.
As long as we can prevent more death in the future, and you know.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a good thing. And you know, I see a lot of people who have a stake in like the keeping the restaurant industry afloat and stuff, like being like, "Oh, we gotta help the restaurants." And it's like, well, right now they laid off all their employees, and they're just having these independent contractor delivery people like crowd the restaurants outside.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's not safe,
and it's a mess.
None of this is safe, and it's not fair.
Speaking of keeping industries afloat,
yeah, what's next on the docket?
Oh my god, it's just I got a little thread about that.
Oh yes, read that.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, we're talking about all of these industries that are struggling, but you might not be at all surprised to know that the fucking health insurance industry is thriving.
Oh,
I just wanted to read some of this thread from Wendell Potter. He just posted it yesterday. And okay, so he's saying,
read it.
Okay. With the COVID-19 death and illness count growing each day, you might expect health insurance companies to be one of the industries taking a huge hit right now. After all, they must be reeling from all the medical care Americans need and all the claims being filed, right? And ready to be outraged, the country's big for-profit health insurers may actually be one of the huge winners from the pandemic. Among the few corporations to see big jumps in their stock price this week are Anthem, United Healthcare, Cigna, and Humana, the place where he used to work.
Gunshot.
Fuck you. Yeah, that's what I'm like, oh, damn. Yeah, tell it like it is. Investors clearly believe insurers will make a killing, with one Wall Street analyst boosting Cigna to quote-unquote strong buy. as medical claims skyrocket, how on earth is this possible? A toxic combination of skimping on coverage for COVID-19 treatments and raising next year's premiums. Yes, check this out. How do I know this? I used to handle financial information for Cigna and learned that industry CEOs reveal stuff to financial analysts they'd never say to the general public. Few reporters bother to listen in to insurers' calls with analysts, but one who does is at Bob J. Herman. At Bob J. Herman reports that in a recent call with analysts, health insurance CEOs said they don't expect their profits to fall due to COVID-19. They even expect to meet their most ambitious 2021 earnings goals. How do health insurers continue to see huge profits during this crisis? If medical claims start to rise uncontrollably, they'll increase everyone's premiums. Humana CEO Brian Kane put it more opaquely, we would price for this for 2021. Yeah.
I mean, like we said in past shows, like this COVID, like even if they develop a vaccine, it's going to take like at least 18 months. And then we don't know if like something else, like we, like there's no coming back from this. Like this is like something that's going to be reoccurring every like flu season. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, here is another really great one. Insurers are still refusing to waive copays and deductibles for COVID-19 treatments.
Yeah, and they're going to find ways to misclassify things like they did with the 9/11 first responders, right? They're just going to find ways to not classify them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it's like just... that's why the only solution to any of this shit is universal healthcare. Fuck. And and combined with other universal programs like, you know, debt cancellation, rent cancellation,
like, yeah, this shit is getting extremely important. And I mean it's always been important, but it's fucking extreme now.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And like they think, you know, they project record profits and nobody's gonna be able to pay those bills, so good luck collecting it. Fuck them. They're just trying to juice their stocks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just yet more proof that these people, oh my god, I was just like leafing through my notes and then I saw that Hillary and Bill Clinton feed Westchester Hospital staff. They literally ordered
pizza. They are so, they're evil. I hate them so much.
They're so terrible. Yeah. It's disgusting.
I hate them so much. I hate them so much.
They're like, kids love pizza. They just want something they can eat with their hands.
They're so
in an incredibly
evil,
infectious environment. Why not?
They're so stupid and so evil. They're not stupid. That's why I keep calling them evil, because they know. They know.
Yeah.
They
Dude,
know.
Let them eat pizza is the new let them eat cake.
Wow. Wow. You're right. I hate that, but you're fucking right.
Ugh.
Oh my god. So there's, you know, of course there's still massive layoffs happening in the art and cultural sector as other places catch up. I saw the Franklin in where's that, Philly? And did you see that thing with the Guggenheim workers? So fucked up.
Oh no, what was it?
The Guggenheim is refusing to pay freelancers for hours they committed to work at the museum past the 29th. They have another action. That's another call to action, is urging their COO and HR.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing at Pace Gallery.
all, yeah, that's like,
they're like refusing to take calls from their freelance workers who are like, hey, can I get that paycheck?
Of course. It's like, that's the whole thing. It's always been the whole thing. Like, you know,
it's gross.
That's why it's going to be really important. I would urge everybody who's like a freelancer, to look into that, like, reclassification legislation, and because even though it's hard to get through to the unemployment office, keep fucking trying.
Yeah,
it took me 3 days, 3 hour being on hold for 3 hours at least each time to get through to HRA. I still have to like renew my Medicaid and stuff, and it's like, why do I even have to do this? Like, just auto do it for everybody. Like,
yeah, well, because everything about our system is based around this idea that you have to be working, like, for everything that you get. It has to be
oh,
like,
right, yeah.
Talk oh, you about don't have Bert. A job? We're your job now.
Let's talk about Bernie fighting for the minimum wage workers on the Senate floor.
Oh, I love
beautiful.
Him. Dude, God. Bernie Sanders, guys, he is doing so much work for us.
He's the only one.
Yeah, it's like, seriously, it's not about like who you feel would be a good leader based on what kind of like shark eyes a person has. It's about what they fucking do in the Senate.
Yeah, like, it's really, like, for him to get that unemployment provision through was really good. And, like, that's, like, you know, part of that mentality was, like, you know, other senators were like, oh, the minimum wage workers, if they get this extra on top, they'll be making more than they made before they were on slave poverty wages. It's like,
yeah.
Good. It's almost as if. It's almost as if the cost of living is a whole lot higher than the minimum wage. Who would have thought?
Yeah, God. They just, like, totally proved themselves to be villains. And they're like, what? No, it's just that the math is wrong.
God. God.
But I love that, that Bernie was just like, no, you know what? I'm going to put a hold on any legislation unless you drop the objection to unemployment insurance expansions. It's just like, I am going to chain myself to
fighting for
bill.
Us, literally fighting for me and you, fighting for gig workers and fighting like for people like who are totally forgotten by everyone else. Like
he's a hero.
He's a
fucking hero.
He's a hero.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him so much.
It's just like, it blows my mind that people aren't like people are doing all these like weird thirst trap Instagrams with Cuomo or whatever.
Ew, I hate him.
When we have this like champion of working people who's still in the primary race, like very much so, Joe Biden can, like, you know, get what's coming to him any moment now, and they're trying to pull a fast one. They're trying to, you know, replace him with someone like Cuomo, do an old switcheroo, pressuring Bernie to drop out when there's literally no reason for him to. You know,
they're just it's so horrible,
the bullshit that is going to get unearthed from all the shenanigans they've been pulling during these primaries. All of these people are crooks.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've just hit the point where like there's absolutely zero need for masks.
God.
Ironically.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's a need for, yeah.
They're
the
like
masks that help the virus, but not, you know, the masks of they're fascists.
Yes. The mask, yeah. The mask of civility, the mask of humanity. they only had a few and they used them all up.
All the politicians are literally the Smiler from Transmetropolitan and are evil.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, also, I meant to say before that Amazon workers in Chicago won big sick pay protections for all Amazon workers, apparently. But we'll see how easy how difficult they make that.
Yeah, there's a great piece that came out on Medium about how they won paid time off and how Amazon was saying that they were technically promised paid time off and then not given it in reality. And they wrote step by step how all of the negotiations went through. And it was so wild because, like, I don't know, the thing that really stood out to me was how management really tried to get them to speak one-on-one so that they could break them up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah. And I don't know, it was just really heartening to read that they were strong enough to all stay together and to fight, you know, in unison.
But there's no way. I mean, that's what's interesting. Like, you know, there's no way to break the solidarity because if one person gets sick, everyone gets sick. Like,
yeah.
It's wild. It's, you know, like the transit workers too, they put out a letter, you know, the governor, the mayor aren't doing enough to protect transit workers. Like, over 20 MTA workers have COVID.
Yep. That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of, exactly, because a lot of people don't show symptoms, and essential medical staff, still some of them still need to take the public transit. Like,
yeah, it's so, oh God, it's so annoying. I've been seeing on Twitter people start to talk about New York like we are a piece of shit town, and there's like viral clips of people riding the subways and then tons of threads about how we're like all disgusting animals who don't know how to keep the city safe. So I've just been throwing in my two cents, like, those are essential workers, you don't know who you're talking about.
It's true, you don't fucking know. Like, the, you know, nurses like commute from remote fucking, because nurses are paid shit, teachers are paid shit, like the teachers who, you know, are still have to do childcare for the health workers and other emergency staff, they're all paid shit. They live way out away from where the big hospitals and big schools are. Like, people have to commute like crazy, and it, like, that's like how de Blasio and Cuomo have made it a lot harder for people to stay in like the neighborhoods that have better transit access points. Like, they've just been totally neoliberalized, and that's where all the luxury condos we've been talking about are popping up, are like places where it's easier to commute. So people are just moving farther and farther away. Like, you know, all of the nurses taking care of your Nana and Pep in New York Presbyterian on 60th Street, they're all commuting from all over the fucking place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the thing that people are... I don't know. It's like, on both ends, we have to be sensitive to the fact that the city keeps running because of these essential service workers that aren't. And I mean, you know, and everyone who has to commute, everyone who has to do childcare, everyone who has to, like, everyone who's out there right now. It's like, not only our job to keep them safe by giving them space and staying inside, but it's also our government's job to support them, and it's our job not to, like, other the, you know, anyone. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the people who still have to work for, you know, because they're being gutted. They don't have savings. They don't have, like, you know, even the delivering grocery store people, like, fuck, like, those folks, like, are in a dire situation, and there's no reason to fucking, like, people don't have the access to the same information we have, like, it's fucked up.
Yeah, like, we're sitting around, and we're just kind of able to process everything and anything, you know, or I just read the news all afternoon. I've turned into a poster.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but I feel like the Vanguard, you know?
Posting this... Vanguard, for sure.
No, I don't know. I feel like, what's it called? It's, I don't know. I'm thinking second wave. Actually, I'm like a second wave poster.
That's true. I think we both are, technically.
Yeah. I don't know what the word for being a second wave poster is, but
more, I think, like, you made it up.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's what I am.
At the end of the show, do we want to reflect on any heavy topics?
Well, I'd say if we keep going heavy, we should go light at the end, you know?
Well, I just want to say that, like, there's, you know, there's been deaths in our friends of friends circles, and it's just awful. There's been a lot of preventable deaths. There's a young principal of one of the public schools who died. There's a lot of workers who have already passed away, and, like, you know, these aren't older folks, like they've been trying to say. It's people our age. It's people a little less.
Yeah, I been keeping tabs on all my friends, and the number of confirmed cases among them are growing. Right now, I just tracked 5 people and found 1 death. And of course, you know, it's not like, oh, my grandma, you know, my grandma's already dead. But, you know, it's like, wow, I'm never going to see that person again. Okay. Wow, this is happening to everyone, and they had a family, and they have friends, and everyone... just please stay inside. Just, if you can, stay inside, and don't let politicians tell you to go back to work.
Yeah, and don't let your landlord bully you. They can't take you to eviction court anyway.
Yeah, there's no fear. Just stay inside and save your money. There's going to be a really long haul, and we don't know when things are going to start up again. So, you know, think of yourself and think of your loved ones, and follow directions, and don't listen to politicians, except Bernie.
Yeah, really, if you need a barometer, Bernie's been doing, like, live streams every night that are really informative and really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really soothing, too.
Yeah, it's like, there's a sane voice who has power and, like, national audience. It's insane. Great.
Yeah. I mean,
who'd have thought?
I know. Dude, he is the president.
He's the president.
He's the president.
You know, he's the only president I'm recognizing.
Yeah. He's my president. I'm going to work on that one.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're ending light.
Yeah, what's something fun?
Add me on Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah, you've been really enjoying Animal Crossing.
That's where all the hangouts are. I hang out with my friends there.
Yeah, I have a hard time hanging out on Animal Crossing because it doesn't really tickle me, and it might not be for everyone.
That's fine. There's other online options.
Yeah.
Hang out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just in case you feel pressured, like you think the entire world is on Animal Crossing. Some people aren't. It's incredibly popular, and it's really, everyone's having a good time, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
It's true. Don't feel pressured to drop a cool 300 on a Switch if you don't think you'll like it.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. but we are getting those checks.
Yeah, well, yeah. Buy something you like. Don't pay rent with it. The Trump check.
Oh, yeah. That's the last thing you should do. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So, and I guess I'm going to read this book, Art and Bear Life, by Josephine Barry. I'm going to read the introduction as like a book on tape for everybody, if they want.
And we'll post it in the public feed or the private feed. What do you think?
I think like the public feed.
Yes.
If you guys want to, they actually, she talks about like Foucault's take on epidemics in the introduction. Whoa. So I thought, you know, regardless of whether or not you want to get into like constructing the real, or whatever, it's got some interesting little tidbits in there that maybe people will feel is like pertinent theory to our time.
And to hear the first session of constructing the real recorded before lockdown, well before lockdown, it's on our Patreon, patreon.com/artandlabor.
Oh yeah.
That's Lucia's school.
Oh yeah, I'm trying, you know. It's really hard because people keep saying like, wow, amazing, I found this huge trove of books.
Yeah.
And like, here you go, just take them all. And it's completely overwhelming and no one helps you through it. And then you're confronted with all these things that like you may or may not know.
I don't have a philosophy background, you know?
Yeah, it's something that most people feel is like very alienating. But anyway, if you guys are at all interested and you feel like learning a different language, but one that's still your own language, check out this theory class.
Yeah, shoot us a DM if you can't afford to donate to us. No worries.
Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap up? We're about an hour.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's so much going on. Check our Twitter feed for all the different groups we've been retweeting. Like, just scroll through the past couple of days. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of, if you have nervous energy, there's things that the unions and other advocacy groups are calling on the public to help with. So.
Oh yeah, and you can still get your craft energy out by making masks, or you know, if you have a 3D printer, could get on that whole printing like pump for respirators.
Yes, it's wild, it's really cool. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of how the art community can be repurposing itself in this time.
Yeah,
like, you know, we do have a lot of industrial materials laying around in our studios.
Dude, totally. Yeah, and any protective gear that you have, yeah. People are looking for donations. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, your box of masks that you use for glazing or firing, I don't know.
Yeah, like, or sanding,
plaster, sanding that shit. Give those. If the hospital workers don't take them, give them to the grocery stores.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah.
Tons of people could use it.
That's a good way to end. We'll all try to do our part and not go insane together.
Yeah.
All right. And try to have fun. Let's have fun.
Let's have fun, everybody.
Bye. I get if you have an airplane. They can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine.
Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.